Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC. And this episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult. We know that. Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably, and they have a whole platform ready to help you manage that team and make it as seamless as possible. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. Now, today, friends, we have with us, we're going to be talking about something a little different than what I usually talk about. And so I'm very, very interested and very excited to go on a journey with Catherine Mandungu. She is the founder and CEO of Think RevOps. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things, and I'm really excited to get started. But first things first, Catherine, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
No, thank you, Lauren. Really appreciate you inviting me on the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and get cracking. So the first question that I'm going to ask you, tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, sure. I'm actually Dutch. So started in Holland, moved to the UK many years ago, about 15, 16 years ago. And then decided just over, what is it now, almost 3 years ago, after a journey of working in the tech space, in commercial operations, to start my own consulting company. So my business, Think RevOps, is a company that really helps specifically about 90% tech startups and scale-ups, and really help them implement a revenue operations framework, and which would help them really drive revenue, basically.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, of course, revenue is what startup founders live and die by. It's one of the first things that you have to think about. You know, what does your revenue model look like? And so your job is essentially to find efficiencies and to implement process and really help startup founders maximize their revenue potential. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the history of revenue operations, it's still quite new. There's really been a hype in RevOps, I would say, what, 5 years? Before that, you had the siloed departments, right? You had marketing doing their own thing. You had sales, you had customer success. What RevOps does is trying to align and centralize these departments, right? And we do that through alignment of strategy, data, process, enablement, and technology as well. So, and it's really to enable the teams and to have that full funnel accountability that will help them drive revenue.
Yeah. Well, and I can't imagine what a weight off a founder's shoulders that would be to have that kind of support that Think RevOps offers. That's incredible. So tell us, how did you get into this work?
Oh, wow. I mean, you don't wake up one day as a kid thinking, oh, I really want to be in operations. I was kind of thrown into it. Back in university, I wanted to actually do finance. And I applied for Microsoft back then for an internship in finance, in the finance department. They flat out rejected me, but they called me 3 days later. Yeah, they flat out rejected me. So I cried for 3 days.
But I do. I want our listeners at home to know that you just said that and you have this giant smile on your face. You have a beautiful smile, by the way. But the fact that you can, you know, you can talk about that and be so enthusiastic about it because it led you here. Right? It led you to where you are. But yeah, continue. I love your smile.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I can laugh about it because they did call me back 3 days later, or 4 days it was, and they said, right, we rejected you for that role, but we think your personality would be good for this other role we have available, which was basically my first dip into commercial operations. And actually, it was kind of in between operations and sales, because I had to sell. I had to sell to, well, I had to do renewals with some of the public school and government contracts they had and do some evergreen renewals, which was exciting. I never done sales in my life. I was 21. Yeah. I also had to work closely with the direct sales teams and support them, had to work with the operation center in Dublin. That's how I really had a taste for operation. I thought actually they were right. It was more me because it was not just, you know, number crunching. It was process. It was working with people. It was just a very dynamic role, which just fits me. So yeah. Hence here I am. I mean, it's been 15 years later or so.
15 years later. So think on who you were when you started, when you embarked on this career. Did you think that you would be where you are now?
I always knew that I wanted to have my own business. I always knew that somehow, in some way, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I didn't know it was going to be specific in RevOps, right? Yeah. Okay. I mean, like I said, I've only started my business 3 years ago. And even then, when I had started, it wasn't a plan that year. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, like I'm super impressed with Microsoft right now for being able to see you. And I'm assuming that the interview process was fairly comprehensive, yes. Let's say, because that's what those big tech companies love to do. But I mean, really, yeah. they didn't know you for very long, comparatively speaking, and they were able to come to you and find you a role that just fit you so perfectly. And I love that. Yeah. Super impressive.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell me this. Yeah. Looking back on your early career, for the point at which you started from here you are now, do you have any advice that you would give your younger self?
My younger self. You know what? As a young person, I mean, I proud of myself in being a person that was really, really determined always, right? So I was always determined and very motivated, but just because of the background I come from. So I come from a, you know, single African woman, 4 kids, by the way, 4 daughters.
Oh, man.
Raising by
4 daughters.
I'm the eldest. Yeah.
You had a lot of
and
fun.
And I'm the eldest. Exactly, yeah. So I had to always set an example with my sister. So I've always been that way. But I think what the advice I would give myself if I could go back is just saying, don't worry so much, I guess. Don't worry so much and enjoy a bit more of, you know, youth of, you know, being young and, you know, you have the world in front of you. I would have definitely said that to her.
Well, I love that in particular because often we talk about the fact, you know, founders, we often we struggle to prioritize ourselves and to take that me time and that self-care time. You know, that I feel like sometimes the work will come, you know, just keep doing good work and, but also make sure to take time for yourself. So that is really, really profound advice for sure. You know, you don't have to completely lose yourself in what you do in order to be a fulfilled and fulfilling founder, right?
So, absolutely. Although right now I can sometimes use that advice myself.
I feel like we're all better at giving advice than taking it. So I totally get that. but definitely something to think on for our founders at home who are just exhausted. Like, go take that nap. And go out with your friends. Go grab that coffee. Well, that is fantastic. Now, I'm very curious. So, Think RevOps. You're a consulting firm, but you're helping build out SaaS revenue operations, and you have data collection components, and you have buyer journey transformation work that you do. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. So, can you kind of dig into what exactly Think RevOps brings to their customers?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, a lot of the clients that come to me, you can probably put them in two main categories, right? Now, because they're startups, I mean, some are still scale-ups, but most of them are startups. They're hearing about this buzz, RevOps. We need RevOps, right? But they don't necessarily know what it is really and how to implement it. So often what they do is, because it's an operational head, they will try to do it themselves. So, and as you know, startups, they all wear different hats. So they will try to do RevOps by themselves, which is great, right? I mean, I say it's still great because that means they're already thinking
about it. You know, before you have traction and customers and money, like it makes sense. But at the same time, like I'm just kind of giggling over here because I'm thinking, you know, something as complex as what Think RevOps offers, you're not going to be able to do that as a solo founder, solopreneur, even if that's not within your wheelhouse. We talk a lot around Startup Hustle about the fact that often you need to bring in experts in order to do what you do really well, focus on what you're best at, and then let other folks come in, take things off your plate, and do them better than you ever could to help optimize your business, right? It's so important.
It is. But as you know, most startups will try to do it themselves, right? So you have that group of customers or clients that then realize, you know what? We tried it, but maybe we can find an expert out there, right? Yeah. And then you have clients who are, well, who know RevOps actually quite well. They might have an operational team, but usually they don't have a RevOps leader, right? So someone to really guide the operational team. So those are the two type of clients that come to me, and how I help them, it is pretty much in a similar way, right? So first of all, you have, you know, what I call a transformational project, right? Regardless of how small or big the transformation is going to be, so some sort of transformation we need to undergo, right? So meaning that there is the whole thought process around revenue operations is, you know, education, enablement, and empowerment as well in the organization, so that everyone really understand what it is and why they should have it or why they should implement it, right? Now, and then after that, we then look at kind of the methodology of, all right, how are we actually going to achieve that? So the way I do it with Think RevOps, it always starts with an assessment. I try to really understand how bad is bad, right? Or how good is good, right?
Yeah.
So I try to really assess everything. So from data, from their processes, from their tech stack, and also people, right? Because people is probably the biggest and important thing, right? Because you can't do data, process, and tech without people. So, and often everything wrong with, you know, what, you know, in your tech stack or RevOps really, overall, is people, because people aren't enabled efficiently to be able to do the right things and follow the best practices. So I look across that and I really assess and try to understand across the entire customer journey, what's going on, right? You know, what's under the hood. And then I provide them basically a result, right? So, hey, this is, you know, where I see the friction. This is what you're doing right. But hey, this is where the challenges are. This is where I think you should prioritize or put your big bets on, because they're going to make a big difference in the organization, right? Yeah. So yeah, we start there. And then once we've aligned those priorities, because again, it's, you know, providing the results of the assessment, but it's a collaboration. We're partnering. It's a partnership. So once we come up with, okay, these are the priorities, that's when we kick off with the project. And I always, and I never, never start with tech, right? And and some companies might do that. Some people, and often startups, the way they would think about a solution is think, we just need new tech. We need to just throw tech towards this problem.
Tech always seems to be the solution. And sometimes you don't need a new app, friends. Invest in your people and take a closer look at your data and refine what you're already doing. You don't always have to throw technology at it, much as we love technology.
Exactly. So most people do that. But I don't talk about tech, because what I talk about first, and which is really, really important to me for businesses, is their blueprint.
Yeah.
What do you want your business to look like? How do you want your business to actually operate? How do you want that customer journey to be? How do you want your customer experience to be, right? And that is very important. And we try to really map that out end to end, from how they attract, prospects in the funnel to how they try to retain their customers, right? So we really map it out in detail. This could be from, and I mean, I build an actual blueprint map, first of all, but we also build potential programs, because we might revisit their sales process and say, actually, your sales process is not quite aligning with the market you're selling to. Let's change that. Same for their CLM or customer lifecycle engagement model. If that doesn't align with their market, their customer market, then let's change it as well. And we create those programs, right? So we do that blueprint first. And once that blueprint is done and everyone signs off, reviews it, that this is basically how we need to operate our business, that's when we then get into, okay, now let's talk about technology, right? Because now you can actually intelligently talk about technology, because you know exactly what your blueprint needs to be and how that, well, what needs to fit in your tech stack, right? And then you can now analyze and say, actually, based on what we want, the tech stack we have today is maybe not up to scratch. Or it is, but it was ill implemented. So we need to, change some stuff. Or we're missing a very piece of technology today. So we should invest in some new technology, right? So that's what it does for you. And once we have that conversation again and we sign off on the technology, this is when we then look at, okay, now let's implement your blueprint into your tech stack. And ThinkRevOps does that as well. So we do the implementation in the tech stack. Specifically, main CRM is Salesforce, really, and then anything that connects to Salesforce, of course, any kind of integration applications, and sometimes also HubSpot, with some of the smaller companies are still running on HubSpot as a CRM. But yeah, then once we've done that, then really the last part of it is, right, let's enable and empower the business, because now we made all those changes. Change management, right, is important. Making sure that everyone is, understand what has happened, understand how to use the new processes, the technology, but also really driving accountability, right? Because often if they have an operations person, everyone's just pointing fingers to the operations person, but actually every single person in the organization should be accountable for data, for the process, for technology, because you are also users.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. When you're talking to your customers, what is the feedback that you're hearing as you're implementing these processes and kind of doing these deep dives into information? What are your customers telling you? Are they surprised by the results and by the insights that you bring to the table?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say surprised, because they know those are insights they can surface. The problem is they don't know how to, because there's so much misalignment and friction, right, in the customer journey with our tech stack, with the processes. So it's more of a, almost like an aha moment. Okay, right? So we had this data that we could surface, but now we're able to do so. Now we can potentially, have data at our fingertips, which I find very important, because the way ThinkRevOps really try to drive things for organizations is from insights, right? It's from insights working back, understanding what does a business actually want to measure?
Right.
Asking the question, how are they actually measuring this today? What are the data points? How are they collecting the data in the entire customer journey? How are they sharing the data? What tools do they have to crunch the data, right? Are they just using CRM for that? Do they have BI tools?
Right.
It's very important. So yes, a lot of companies or clients that I work with, they have that aha moment as in, oh, finally, right? Because they had almost had a handicap right? You may think about those board reports that they need to do. And it's very hard to actually surface information, or they were just doing a lot of manual work to get the answers when it could have been automated, right? And then outside of the data, it's just about the process friction, because if you really think about it, and in terms of going back to RevOps, driving revenue, that's from the operational side, we fix that. But what it does is, in fact, it tries to improve the impact levers, right?
Right.
And what I mean by an impact lever is, think about your win rates, think about your conversion rates, right? Think about your sales velocity, right? That's what it should impact, right? We're not just, you know, implementing technology or processes for the sake of it. I mean, one, customer experience, that's also a very good metric to look at. So what's your customer satisfaction rate after that, right? What are your conversion rates and your win rates after that? And that's what we need to try and measure and make sure that we are driving that. And that is why it's important with RevOps that it's not a one-time thing. I implemented and, you know, that's it. It's going to work. No, you have to validate it. You have to test it. You probably also have to change the way you do things, maybe every year, especially when you start up, because things are changing all the time. So you want to be agile in that way.
For sure. Well, as we all know, we look to data and we look to the work that organizations, companies like ThinkRevOps does to make better decisions. And that's really that's what we need as founders. You know, often when we're starting companies, we don't have a blueprint. We don't have a roadmap. We're kind of figuring things out as we go. And so having that empiric data can just, it's transformative for a business. So thank you for your work. I also want to remind our friends listening at home that finding software developers and experts doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io. You can build a software team with them quickly and affordably. Use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. It is literally that simple. And I actually just went out this week with a table of folks who were Fullscale clients, and we were just talking about how easy and seamless they make the software development process. You can visit fullscale.io to learn more. Now, Catherine, I want to ask you, you know, not all of the founders listening have a really, really clear idea or picture as to how to maximize the revenue operations. And so I'm just going to ask you, what are some best practices or tips other than hiring ThinkRevOps, which I, of course, highly recommend for all of the founders listening. And you can definitely check out the show notes, folks, for information and for links to find out more information. But just for the folks playing at home, what's some guidance or some tips that you would give them if they want to essentially do the work that you do, just optimize, maximize their revenue, make sure that all of their departments are talking to each other, all of those things that you do so beautifully?
Yeah, sure. So I just talked earlier about the impact levers, right? So
yeah,
that's what they need to try and do. Start there, at least. Understand what is currently impacting revenue, right? If they understand, so let's say you look at your insights, hopefully they have them. and let's say your MQL to SQL conversion rate is down, and which is impacting your revenue, right? Or your win rate is down for that matter. Then you try to trace it back and try to really understand, okay, what is happening? If it's win rate, right, then maybe something is wrong with the sales team, right? It could be the sales process. Usually you start there first, try to understand, okay, what's happening with the sales cycle today. If not, it could be under the enablement issue today with, you know, the productivity of your team. So you can start there. But impact levers are the really good way of you to start understanding where in the process is it broken. So this is how you can start small, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you want to really look at things holistically, however, which I do recommend, is going back to that blueprint, is understanding, first of all, how do things work today? Map them out. Map out exactly from end to end, from your customer journey today, what happens on the customer side, and then reflected on the internal side. What are we doing? Who is involved, right? Map it out entirely, and then you will easily identify where the gaps are and then put a plan of attack together. And you don't have to do everything at once. You just try and prioritize the ones that are really killing your revenue today.
Yeah. Do you have any success stories that you could share with us? A client that you worked with that was able to change the trajectory of their business based on your support?
Yes. I had one of my clients was last year, to be exact, who had specifically an issue around their CPQ. I don't know if you know what that is. That's a quote. Price configuration. So it's basically the process around how you are going to quote, right? Price, do the contracting with your customers, and how effectively and quickly you're going to do that, right? And that was a bottleneck for the organization. So what we did is we had to flip that process on its side entirely and just basically reinvent in terms of, you know, what was being done. And we mapped out that entire process and we created also governance around it because there was an issue around actually understanding how to operate within quote to cash process, right? So we created governance around it. So everyone understood, we're enabled, we implemented the process and the project went quite smoothly. And the uptake of that project was around a 10% different in terms of the revenue that we're making. But that was only because there was so much manual friction, zero efficiency. And once we've been able to implement that 10% uptake, which was fabulous.
I love that. And again, anytime you're able to bring in an expert to help you do business better, that's just a huge coup for founders, for business owners. And so, you know, thank you for your work. What are some of the challenges that you and Think RevOps have experienced as you've attempted to grow and kind of claim your stake in this business?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I've obviously, 3 years ago, I started by myself. I am primarily still a one-woman operations, but I work with contractors, right?
Yeah.
Now, my next challenge is actually I'm going to be hiring full-time people in the organization, which is great. But the challenge today is the talent, hiring people.
Yeah, for sure.
It is really hard. It's really hard. It's hard to find the tech talent, but also just RevOps talent. And especially here in Europe, it's very scarce. So
isn't
it? I have to figure out something. But I am working on something as well around putting a program together to teach younger folks about RevOps because it's really an exciting role, actually. It's very exciting and it's up and coming and this role is going to evolve so much more. I see so much happening with revenue operations. So I think young folks just coming out of uni need to pay attention.
Yeah. You know, as more and more founders wake up to the fact that, oh, hey, you know, we might need revenue operations. We might need to figure this out. I hope to see a lot of growth coming out of you. But you mentioned that you were starting a program. And so are you thinking like a mentorship kind of situation? Or are you offering, I don't know, online courses? What are you thinking there?
Yes. Today I already offer coaching. And I'm coaching actually women in the space.
Oh, that's
which
fantastic.
Is great. And I'm all for empowering women.
I love that. Surprising absolutely nobody. That makes me very happy.
Yeah. But I am indeed also looking at putting a program together, like a training course modules. For folks out there who would be interested in revenue operations and getting into that role.
Okay. So if you were interested in a career in revenue operations, what should you study?
I studied business myself with a minor in technology, but you could have come from any background. That's my experience is that really as long as you can have transferable skills and often I have to say with RevOps, you need some practical experience, right?
Okay.
Because, for example, you need to have, you know, gone and learned how to do Salesforce if Salesforce is going to be your main tech, right? Or HubSpot for that matter, and get it, you know, accredited. Outside of that is, you know, just learning business strategies. If you're going to be in the tech industry or SaaS industry, understand what, you know, SaaS model looks like and how it operates, understanding the customer journey. These are things that you don't necessarily always learn in university. And sometimes it just takes you going out there online and read a lot, get books. There's so many books out there about that. So there's just different things. And that is why I'm putting the program together, because it's not immediately obvious what you should learn. So I'm trying to put all those different elements that you can get everywhere into one place.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you mentioned, you talked about the fact that, you know, people are just kind of coming around to understanding the importance of revenue operations, and you expect to see an explosion in the field. So are you anticipating a great kind of sea change moment within the industry? Like, what do you see happening there, I guess, culturally, societally, for revenue operations? What's the future, you know, 5-10 years from now?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I think there's different routes, I think, for revenue operations currently as a possibility. You know about the CRO role, right? Now, the CRO role primarily has always come from, you know, people who had a sales background. But more and more also, I see that revenue operational people could get into a CRO role, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not that I agree with that, that's another discussion.
Sure.
But I also see different routes to, obviously, COO could also make sense for sure. I mean, still an operational role, but it's, you know, much larger and looking really wide across the organization.
Yeah.
But I also see something very interesting, because I was working on it just recently, is the CDO role, so the chief data officer.
Okay.
Because more and more the revenue operations role, the rev ops leader, is becoming more a role that really leads with data first, right?
Sure.
There's that responsibility and governance around data. And I'm all about how to use data to monetize the business, right? So using data monetization basically to drive revenue. Now, the CDO role that is also kind of up and coming today, it's kind of doing the same thing, and it's more tech on the tech side as well. But I think that's a big possibility for RevOps. And I was doing the data summer school with Caroline Carruthers and Jackson Peters. They are a consulting firm who do data summer schools to teach people how to be a CDO. And we just finished and graduated. Whoop.
Oh, congratulations.
Preparing myself for that.
Let's take a moment to celebrate that. I'm going to give you a little round of applause. Well done.
Thank you. But yeah, no, but I think the possibilities are great with revenue operations. And I'm super excited for what's to come.
Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting hearing your take in particular on the future impact and the direction that the field is going to be taking. That's really interesting. And I've started to see that CDO title coming around. I think that, you know, we have reached a point in our digital evolution where it's becoming easier and easier to track data. But more importantly, organizations are kind of waking up to the importance of putting resources around that data tracking and making sure that you're investing in that. So as a business owner, what are some of the other, I guess, markers or things that you look out for on behalf of the clients that you represent? What are some of those data points that you should absolutely be? So tell me this, Catherine, you know, we've talked about the importance of data, and I've started to see that CDO title popping up more and more. And I think that companies are just really, really investing in data as the future of business, really. I mean, we're in this digital economy. What are some other markers or data points that organizations should be tracking that they might not be aware of? Are the folks listening at home, what can they start to track that might have some positive potential impact on their business?
Yeah. Well, I won't name a whole list of metrics, especially if you're in the tech industry or a SaaS. You know, you have the regular SaaS metrics, and we talked about a few of those impact levers. And in fact, soon on my site, I will make all the SaaS metrics available actually for anyone to download for free, so, which is great.
That's amazing.
What I do think that every organization doesn't think about, I mean, we're talking about data here, and data is so, so important for every business, right? Because right. it will help you monetize, and you have monetization in different ways. You have external monetization, but certainly I'm talking here about internal monetization. So how do you use insights to drive revenue? But if you want to do that, then you really need to be measuring the quality of your data. Nobody does that. And that's an important metric that you need to start creating in the organization, because it has such a huge impact. I mean, think about your go-to-market quality, sorry, go-to-market data quality, right?
Right.
So think about all the prospect data where it's missing phone numbers, titles, industries, whatever kind of data points you would need to really understand your customers, their persona, the market really, and so you can understand how to sell to them is so important. But yet, we haven't quite fixed that. So every business has this as a major issue today. But it really goes back to that. There is no data strategy, first of all, in the organization, and especially startups, they're not thinking about data strategy at all. Unless it's about, it has to do with their product that they're offering. When it comes to go-to-market strategy or go-to-market data strategy, they don't look at that. And that is still very important, right? And then they should assign metrics around that, the data quality, because it will drive everything else they do. Otherwise, you just fail.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that our founders playing at home appreciate those insights. I have a question to ask you, and it's kind of a silly one, but I always ask folks, and in particular, knowing that you're Dutch, can I ask you how many languages you speak?
I speak 3 languages and trying to learn Bulgarian at the moment.
Oh, that's delightful. Any particular reason?
Well, my partner is Bulgarian. His family doesn't speak English.
Gotcha. So. That would do it for sure.
Exactly.
Right. You go home with them for the holidays and say, hey, that would be a little awkward. So how sweet of you to be putting forth that effort. That's amazing. I always ask that because I'm just always really, really curious when I speak to folks who potentially speak a lot of languages. All right. So I'm going to get back into it. Sorry. I just distracted myself. All right. So now I'm going to ask you, I want to get a little bit more specific with you and tell us about the future of Catherine and tell us about the future of ThinkRevOps. You know, we've talked a little bit about the landscape. We've talked about what you do, but what do you see coming down the pipeline for you as a founder and your organization?
Yeah, I'm actually right now I'm working on something that would truly make ThinkRevOps a platform as a partnership to organization and really help them drive RevOps strategy, RevOps framework, if you like, RevOps thought leadership. So I'm working on something now and it's very exciting and I'm hoping to roll something out by next year. But really for me, the future is that we really become a partner to really make an impact and potentially innovate the revenue operations industry. And that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty incredible. I'm not going to lie. So now I come to my personal favorite part of the show, and I'm going to ask you the human question. And, yes. And friends, I have to tell you that when I was prepping Catherine for this, she made a face when I told her about the human question. So I feel like you might be a little nervous. Maybe not. I could be wrong, but she made a face. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give you one of my fave questions, but it's a pretty easy one. And I'm going to ask you, what are you reading right now? If you tell me data sets and spreadsheets, that's a totally valid answer, but I'm going to say, hey, I've got some book recommendations for you.
Actually, I just started reading something yesterday. It's, I can never get his name right. I think Jeff Lerner. Anyway, okay. It's called Unlock Your Potential. And it's an amazing book so far. Anyway, actually, yeah. It's an audible. I'm not reading it. I'm listening to it. unlocking your potential. It's for entrepreneurs and founders. I recommend anyone to pick up this book and read it. It's really, really good.
Awesome. Okay, so unlock your potential. Now, here's the real question, though. Where can we find you and where can we find ThinkRevOps?
Yeah, sure. Well, you can visit our website, thinkrevops.com, for sure. You can find me on LinkedIn. So my name is Catherine Mundungu.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that. And you know I'm going to be finding you on LinkedIn. We're going to be LinkedIn pals now.
Yes.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Catherine, for taking the time to chat with us, share your insights. You have a lot of wisdom stored up in that beautiful brain of yours. So thank you for that. And thank you for sharing it with us so willingly.
Thank you, Lauren. Really
appreciate
it. Really enjoyed this.
What's that?
Really enjoyed this.
I did too. And I learned a lot. I feel like I learned a lot. And I those are some of my favorite episodes. Whenever I walk away feeling like, oh, hey, you know, that was a piece of knowledge that I didn't have before. Well, so again, thank you so much. And we'd also like to say a thank you to our episode sponsors. Thank you so much to fullscale.io. They are a company, they know that finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, and they can certainly help you do that. If you need to create an app, if you need to create a technological tool, FullScale is the one to help you do it. Visit fullscale.io. You can build a software team quickly and affordably. You can use the FullScale platform to define your technical needs and see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more and check out the information in the show notes. Also want to draw your attention to one of our other hosts. I don't know if you all know this, but Andrew Morgans is one of our Startup Hustle hosts. He is an expert in e-commerce. If you are looking to sell a product online, especially if you are looking to leverage Amazon as a sales tool, he's the guy. So definitely give a listen to Andrew's episodes. He's a fun guy. I enjoy chatting with him, but he has a lot of wisdom to share. And I invite you to check out the Andrew Morgans e-commerce episodes of Startup Hustle. Friends, we are so grateful that you take the time week after week to chat with us and listen to the stories of founders. And we just hope that you keep on coming back. Thanks so much. And we will catch you on the flip side.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by FullScale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button. Then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.